prepare to receive away team.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, On the Road.
All right, so this is the away team.
I'm Carol the Cat.
I'm the Giddy Geeker, and we are here with...
Charming Underclothes.
And you guys have just finished your performance here at RavenCon, and we're very excited to talk to you about that, as well as talking about your upcoming performance at Con Carolinas. But if we could, let's start by going around the room and just introducing yourselves and maybe what part you play.
Right. Hi, I'm Syrinx. I'm the cast director of Charming Underclothes. And when we do Rocky Horror, I play Riff Raff, but in tonight's first ever... edition of the Lost Skeleton Shadow Cast, I was Dr. Roger Fleming.
I'm Juliana Shoon, and I played Anamala.
I am Brittany Davis. I played the farmer and the entire forest.
I'm Logan Beard, and I play Crowbar.
I'm Courtney Skinner, who created the mutant suit in the original movie, The Lost Skeleton. And I was happy and proud and honored to have this, the original mutant head, used here in the Shadow Cast. It was wonderfully done. I was chills were up my spine and tears came to my eyes when the mutant entered.
Where's Anita?
My name's Gary. I'm actually not on the stage this time. I'm new to Charming Underclothes, and I was in the back at the table selling all the wonderful cadaver merchandise.
And I am Ashley, or Intoxicate, as I go by, and I played Betty Armstrong. I almost forgot my character's name.
And that's us.
And okay. That's us. Okay, so yeah. We already introduced ourselves. So this is the first time you've ever shadow casted Lost Skeleton.
The first shadow cast ever to happen of Lost Skeleton. Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
So, and the first shadow cast at RavenCon.
Yeah, from what I understand.
Yeah. So... I know the movie is just freaking hilarious, and I love it to death. Did you immediately go, I want to shadow cast this?
Yeah, so when it got brought up to me, I think it was like in November, I believe, from Anita, because Anita's part of our cast as well, and she helped.
She was the mutant.
She was the mutant.
Shout out to Anita. Yeah.
So they were like, well, they don't want to copy what we do at Mysticon, because we do Rocky there. And so, like, you know, what else do you guys do? I'm like, well, there's the usuals, Clue, Shock Treatment, Hedwig, Repo, you know, stuff like that. And she's like, no, it needs to be more sci-fi. And I'm thinking, and I'm like, well, if we're really going down this road, there is a movie that I've been a fan of forever that I would love to do, and I'm pretty sure no one's ever done it. And so I guess word got between her and Mike, and that was happening, and then nobody on cast knew of it, and... It's usually my New Year's tradition is to there's a great drinking game that goes with this movie, by the way. So we had a cast New Year's Eve party, and I made this a thing for us to do, and thankfully everybody loved it. And I'm like, so I got good news. We're doing this at RavenCon.
To clarify, Syrinx got us drunk, showed us this movie, and then went, "Hey guys, we're performing this," while we were still drunk.
So did you have a moment kind of like they do at Rocky Horror Shadow Cast where you ask who the virgins are and then you all got on stage?
Right. Well, that was the trick. We literally were building the show from the ground up. And, you know, in this case, like, everybody's a virgin, you
yeah.
know. But you really, like, but, you know, but that's such a, I mean, we use it because we know what that means. But that's, I was trying to actually get away from using Rocky words and Rocky style callbacks and whatnot.
I really having... because the pre-show is done by Billy, the wonderful Billy Flynn and Rich Siegfried.
Yep. And the wonderful Rich Siegfried.
Yes.
I was looking a little thinner than usual.
He is actually. Yeah, a lot thinner.
That super skeleton
and
diet.
And shorter. Right. But I really liked having the interview with the skeleton, and apparently he gifted.
Yeah, he
the
did.
Skeleton
yeah,
to so you. It's good.
But you know, Rich also gifted himself way back from our very first Rocky show ever at Mysticon. So Rich is officially part of cast. Even though we only get them twice, three times a year. And Billy joined us this past Mysticon, so Billy's officially part of cast as well. So whenever we're at cons and they're at cons, they are our pre-show host.
So will the skeleton make its way down to Charlotte for Con Carolina?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. we were trying to figure out, like, what pre-show games to do and what prizes, but Mr. Skinner here gifted us, like, some awesome collectibles.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So we got to hand those out, and we got several left. So Con Carolinas, you're in for a treat.
Awesome. Woohoo! So when you first were asked to design the mutant head, how did you come up?
Yeah. did you like go? Because it's deliberately bad.
Yes. Well, I was inspired. His name is Paul Blaisdell, I believe, who designed cut rate, low budget monsters for. I think he did. Oh man, what was it? The creature. It was basically shaped like a teepee with legs that came out of a cave. I can't remember.
It conquered the world.
That's it. It conquered the world.
Yeah.
And he did the astounding she creature as well. He had to work on a shoestring budget. So he was my inspiration. And Larry Blamire, the writer director of Lost Skeleton, basically gave me a budget. I forget what the budget was. It was like $400 to $500. And he said, "What you don't use, you can keep." So that was added impetus for me to go as cheaply as I could.
So was it a Dollar Tree MacGyver moment?
It was. You're close. It was a Michaels and Lowe's or Home Depot moment. I built and designed the Transmutatron based on a caulking gun and tubes and other stuff I found at Home Depot. And Larry did a sketch of the mutant and sent it to me. It was a very light sketch. And then I realized that I would have to go to... There was a mattress store that had foam rubber on sale. So basically it was the mattress supplies, fake foliage from Michaels, a lot of rubber, foam rubber adhesive, various textured mattress, which you folks found somewhere, and it was the perfect duplicate for what we used. And a cheap Tyvek overalls, kind of spray mottled with spray paint, some totes for the feet. I had glued some claws on them, but they fell off somewhere between where I sent them out to L.A. and they put them on. And then Halloween hands. They were on sale at Michael's again. And just sent the whole stuff out to L.A. and they put them on and filmed, and it was perfect. I got to keep maybe $200.
Wow. Yeah. Awesome. So, Michael, if you would like to sponsor Charming Underclothes, you can contact them.
That would be awesome.
That would be amazing.
So much awesome stuff.
I know.
So, you've done the first one. What things do you want to do differently next time? How do you want to change, improve? What things do you like, absolutely, we're keeping this?
Oh, well, I think definitely what? The mashed potato scene, that the way we pulled it off, definitely has to stay. That came off really, really well.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think I just want to actually do a good job this time, maybe?
Yeah. No, we were good.
Yeah,
but
kidding.
it was the
As
first...
As nobody's
yeah.
ever seen it before,
yeah.
nobody knows what the mistakes
job.
Are.
Right.
I think the
yeah.
main...
It's the best
the
you
main
have
thing we've
ever
all,
done.
Yes, I think the main thing we've all said we kind of want to work on is just entrances and exits, because
yeah.
I think that was always the hardest thing when you're doing a new show is yeah. knowing when you're supposed to come in.
Because we rehearse in a smaller space in Roanoke, and then you get to the con, and then your first time to use the space at the con is the performance, so yeah, you kind of got to adjust on the fly.
And having a bigger space is not always better because you have so much more room to work with that you kind of have, it's too many options sometimes.
I will say for Con Carolinas, it is a standard hotel stage, so that's not an auditorium, like that's an auditorium,
right?
So it's a smaller stage.
So risers then?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so it's what we're used to at this time.
We are used to those.
Yeah.
We know how to work with them.
Yeah, I know, this was just like, wow, there's stairs and there's ramps and there's everything. So would you be like encouraging callbacks for this movie? Because I know for Rocky there's
No, and there was actually, like, watching the movie, I mean, there's what I love about it, and I don't know if I can flash back to like 2009. I actually got to interview Larry on the radio when I lived in Cleveland, and that's where my obsession really started. And I got to, I actually
you
got to tell
you
him.
You don't do this full time.
obsessed about
Larry
Blamire.
But I got to tell him, like, there's some instances in the movie where, like the part where Fleming and Adamella come up to the cabin, and it's like the rhythm of the dialogue is right in tune with, hi, Brad Majors, this is my wife, Jan White, we, our car broke down, do you have a telephone? Like, it was that same rhythm of dialogue. So, like, that led to callbacks right off the bat for the movie. And there was a few others that we came up with, like, when it cuts to, like, towards the end where the skeleton comes to life and you see the glowing atmosphere in his chest. I was like, you know, an E.T. moment. I was like, turn on your heart light, you know. So they're there. It's just, you gotta find them.
Certainly, you know, we were trying to encourage callbacks with one of our own cast members, thinking of things ahead of time. And I don't think you knew this because you were everywhere as director.
Yeah,
but Anamala, you know, she kind of has the freedom to prowl around the stage. And so I was in the back a bit, and there were a couple of groups who were having a riot with the heckling.
Oh, nice.
So I think that, yes, the rhythm of the movie really lends itself to that spirit.
Yeah.
So we can encourage that at Con Carolinas. We can actually say,
yes,
you are free to heckle.
Yes.
But the thing with this movie is, a lot of the time, the dialogue itself is what you would have used for a callback. I remember there's this one moment we were looking for callbacks, and it's the, you know, when you get to the, we get to the cabin, you can rest. And every time I just want to shout, and I can science. And the next thing out of his mouth is, and I can do science. It's like, oh, no, you took it from me. You took it.
Himself, so.
But there's some fun ones we have. I think one of my favorite ones that we have is when the, you know, they see the meteor that turns out to be a spaceship. And it's going across the sky with this trail behind it. And we're just like, the more you know.
I know, my favorite is, it definitely has to be line. Line.
Anytime there's a pause. Anytime there's a pause.
Which is totally ripped
line.
Off from Riff Trax doing Twilight. But,
right.
But yeah, because the part like, you know, like, but you know, we need to get that Vesemirium, like, but how? And then we're all like,
silence.
But we actually do get to steal a couple of them from Rocky because they fit so well. Like the moment where Paul goes to kiss Betty and then gets distracted by science and shoves her away and runs off. It's a similar callback we use with Columbia and Eddie, is the psych callback that we always use whenever anyone's about to have a romantic moment and then suddenly, no, let me just shove you away.
It's not stealing, it's repurposing.
Yes, it's
a recycling, earth-friendly kind of thing.
Exactly.
Well,
right?
And also, you've been doing Rocky since 2005, that your mind just goes there.
It just goes there.
Right.
There was one other one we did like that, and that was when Dr. Fleming first discovers the skeleton and he's going to lift the sheet. There's this moment in Rocky Horror right after Frank is killed and the sheet falls on top of him where you're like, no, Rocky, don't lift the sheet. There's bad music under there. So when we do it with skeletons, like, no, don't lift that sheet. We'll have to pay the harpist. So it's like something different, but it's similar, where it's like, oh, this is something we can draw on a Rocky experience, and it makes it an easier callback to remember, because this is something new.
Right.
So you've all done Rocky for, like, a long, long time. Do you find yourself riffing just everyday life?
Yeah. I just nodded on a podcast.
Yeah.
I nod too.
I find myself... I work at a Starbucks. I find myself riffing not only myself, but my customers and my coworkers, because we have headsets.
Listen, I know you do.
We kind of riff each other just in everyday life.
Yeah.
Like, we'll find ourselves, like, using callbacks against each other while we're hanging out, like, drinking or, like, playing Cards Against Humanity or doing whatever it is. Yes, the stuff we say.
I'm sorry, did you call me a slut?
Yeah, always.
And I'm new to the group here, but I've been at the con with these guys for a long time. And so I already kind of know how to rip on everybody, and I'm going to fit right in here.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
It feels like home.
Yeah.
Well, so you'll be at Con Carolinas.
Yes.
You're going to be back at Mysticon, I'm sure. And now RavenCon. And where can we find you on the interwebs?
We do have a website. It's cu@rhps.org. We're also on Facebook, just under Charming Underclothes. Twitter, we're also cu@rhps. That's it.
That's it.
And where's your next performance? Is it actually Con Carolinas? No.
I had a full beard up to about a half hour ago and then shaved because now I've got to be riffraff. We're performing Rocky Horror in Charlottesville, Virginia, at the IX Art Park on Friday, May 19th. And then a couple weeks later, we're down in Con Carolinas, and then the beard will be back.
And then Rocky, Rocky, Rocky.
Yeah, and then we bounce between Roanoke and Lynchburg for the remainder of the year.
All right, so Charming Underclothes, check them out online. Go and see them in person if you can. And definitely check them out at Con Carolinas. Thank you guys for your time.
Actually,
thank you so much for joining our podcast.
So to make this official with the recording, I would like to induct Mr. Courtney Skinner as an honorary cast member of Charming Underclothes. Now.
Thank you.
No crying, because this is audio. So.
And it's not very manly.
Real? Me, it's not very manly.
They gave up crying on Marva eons ago.
All right, on that note, if you don't know what it means, go watch the movie, and we'll see you at Con Carolinas.